got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 17 and read through the rest of the chapter as we share this morning. I want to speak to you upon the subject of the idea. What meaneth he when he said, in a little while? Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he made a statement to them that in a little while, things was going to be different. I don't know about you, but as I look around and I see the works of Satan and his satanic forces and how he's controlling so many things in our country today, you know, I was singing that song there when they mentioned from New York to L.A., you know, and to watch the city of New York elect a Muslim as their leader this week and all the things that surrounds all of that. And first thing they did is to denounce, you know, we as Christians. Folks are, you know, after what all they did to New York City in 9-1-1. Then go back and elect one of them as their leader. I just don't understand it. And I don't think God understands just how critical some people can do things to hurt and their hearts and in their lives. And second thing they wanted to know was when shall these things be? They wanted to know, what does he mean when he says a little while? And when shall those things be? And he has time and time and time again did the very best that he could. One-on-one with his disciples, he took them off apart, all 12 of them, set them down, and taught them the things concerning the end times and his death and the resurrection and the ascension back to the Father, and that one day he's coming back to receive us as his own, and all the things, but they just didn't get it. They just couldn't grasp that this man had that kind of capabilities in his heart and his life concerning those things. And whenever he would talk with them about things concerning his death on the cross, they had questions. What does he mean in a little while? Well, as he's speaking with them here at this time, he's just a few hours away from death on the cross, giving his life for us. So begin reading with me in verse 17 of chapter 16 of John. It said, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while? And ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. As he's dealing with them here and showing them the things that he wants them to understand here, he says in a little while, and for them it was just a few short hours before they would come in and witness his death on that cross. They may have done it from a hiding place out there where they were not being seen by the Roman soldiers and stuff in fear of they would be part of the crucifixion themselves. But Jesus told them, a little while and you shall not see me, that he was going to die on that cross. That was contradictory to everything they had been taught, everything they believed concerning the Messiah and the coming of the Messiah and things. And they thought that the Messiah was going to be a earthly kingdom, that the Messiah was going to come to Jerusalem. He was going to set up his world rule there. And they were going to be principal players in that. Can you imagine just plain old tax collector, fishermen, just common men out there that the Lord, when he was going along, said, come, follow me. And they left everything and followed him, thinking in their hearts and their lives that one day this is going to play a big benefit. Well, I want you to know, if you're a child of God, one day your investment in the kingdom work of Christ is going to get you great value. It's going to be worth it all. But it's not going to be while we're here. It's going to be when we were him over there. In a little while, it'll take place. He said, "You shall see me, and in a little while you will not." Why? Because I go to the Father. He knew that he was on his return trip pretty soon to go back. But what does he have to do before that takes place? He has to go to that cross, and he has to die for our sins. And the cross was a bad experience, I'll grant that. And it had to be painful, and it caused him to cry out and ask his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was all alone. All the disciples had forsaken him. Everybody was gone, and he was there all alone. And he cried out concerning this in his heart and his life. And he's saying to them, "I am going to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while." We cannot tell what he saith. They're murmuring amongst themselves, and they're questioning, and they're saying, "Well, he's on one of them spells this morning. He's telling us that in a little while we'll see him, in a little while we won't see him, and he's going, and we can't come, and all. What is he talking about? Why don't he just tell us in plain English what we need to know? Why does he dance around the issue?" Look at verse 18. "They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith." Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while? And you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me?" He asked him a question. Is that what you want to know? What I mean when I say a little while? And then look at verse 20. Those first two letter words are verily, verily. That means with an absolute assurance. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." He is saying to those that were the closest to him there, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world's going to do what? Rejoicing. If you and I knew the ideology of so many of our world today, you know what you would find out? I don't have anything to back it up. It's just Larry Haber thinking, but I'm pretty sure you'll find out the majority of this whole world's rejoicing at the fact that Jesus is not Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our world today. All this satanic stuff is coming in, and Satan's having it, fulfilling the scripture. Signs of the times are everywhere. We see all these things. But he said, "I know you're sorrowful, but your sorrow one day will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world." We all know the things behind the birth of a child and the pains of the Lord delivering the child and stuff. And we may be caused to go through some of those trials and those pains and those sufferings and heartaches and tribulations and stuff here. But when we get there, it'll be worth it all. It'll all be wiped out. All the sorrow, all the hurt that we might have been caused to go through in this old world. I tell you, when we stand in the presence of God, and we'll see that in a little bit, and hear him say, "Well done," and we enter into the joy of our sight, it's going to be an awesome time. Verse 22, he said, "Then ye now therefore have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You got something that no man can take away from you. And that is the Lord. And in that day, you shall ask me anything, nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in a proverb or a parable. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. I don't know if you grasp what he was saying to his disciples there, but I want to try to explain it to you so that you'll understand. What he was telling his disciples there was that one day, in a little while, he is going to die on the cross. He's going to be buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he is going to rise again. 40 days later, he is going to ascend back to the Father. And then when the Father says, "Son, go bring my children home," those of us who have been born again by the blood of Jesus that he shed on that cross for our sins, we'll be called up to meet him in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. But when we get into the presence of Jesus, you know what he's going to do? He's going to take Larry by the hand, and he's going to lead me through the promised land, and he's going to take me to the Father, and he's going to introduce me to the Father. And that's what Jesus' deal, he's telling the disciples here. Listen closely to what he said. He said, "These things have I spoken to you in a parable, but the time cometh," there's a day in our future, folks, he said, "when I shall speak no more unto you in proverbs or parables, but I shall speak to you plainly of the Father. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father, Father, for you. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you." He's going to intercede. He's going to step in between the things that has to be done. And for the Father himself loveth you. Why does the Father love us? It's only one reason. Because we loved the Son. We love the Son. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Most of the Greeks, most of the Hebrews, most of the Gentiles, a lot of the Jews, they were knew about the Messiah, but they didn't know the Messiah in their lives. He said, "Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." It took them a while, 3.5 years of coming to a realization, that Jesus was who he said he was, but he did. But when is that going to be a reality, Brother Larry, for them? When are they going to truly know that the words that he's speaking are true in his life? Well, let's fast forward a little bit. You got to stay with me in your mind, okay? But as we fast forward, we're going to find some things, you know. What did Jesus do? Whenever things were being carried out there on the cross, Scripture says that the disciples did what? They scattered, didn't they? And he went to that cross. And there he cried out to the Father and said, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" And then he come down to the words that completed what he was telling his disciples. Remember what he said? "It is finished. It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. He died. He died on that cross. What happened when he died? Was that the end? Remember how the darkness came across the place? What happened to the veil of the tent? It was rent open. What'd that do for you and I? What did it do for those 12 or 11 then at the time? Because Judas had done, he killed himself, hung himself. But what did it do for us? Scripture says the veil of the temple rent or tore open. And the presence of God was made known to you and I. Instead of having to go see the priest, instead of having to kill a ram or a goat or a turtle dove or whatever you could afford, and offer it as a sacrifice, Jesus went to the cross, and the scripture tells us, John tells us, Luke tells us, all of them tell us in their gospels that he died once for what? All. That's right. How many times did he die? Once for every one of us. He's the same God. He's the same answer to what he means when he says in a little while. He said, the Father himself loves you. I came forth from the Father, and I am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. He said, I got another step to go. I died. I was buried. 3 days later, I arose. 40 days later, what did he do in them 40 days? He was out and about, wasn't he? Boom. They had locked up in that upper room. He just went right on in their midst, Right where they'd scared them to death. Man, they'd seen a ghost. Couldn't be. What did he tell old Thomas? Thomas, come in, put your hand in my side. You fail to believe. Come look. Come see. He proved himself. And then while he was talking to him at the end of this chapter, what did he do? He was there and he was encouraging them and telling them and that whole great big vast of people out there in front of them and stuff. And all of a sudden he began to do what? Rise. Began to rise. Right before their eyes, what did they see? Went back into the clouds, didn't he? Back into the presence of his Father. What do you think the Father had prepared for? Don't you know there's a celebration that went on for him to leave his place with the Father, be born of a virgin, a babe, in a stall, under the poorest and lowliest of conditions that there could ever be, and come from there to being the Savior of the world. My Savior, your Savior, in our hearts and our lives. I like what 29:30 says. Watch him. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly. Finally, you're making sense. We can understand it. And you're not speaking in proverbs or parables. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. They finally come to a realization that Jesus was who he said he was, and that he was the Messiah, the Savior, sent to save mankind from their sin and wrong. Jesus kind of turned the tables on them. They had been pouncing on him, wanting to know what meaneth you a little while. What do you want to know when you say those things that are coming to be? He asked them a question. What's the question? Do you believe? Do thou believe? The way he said it right there concerning that, do you now believe? After all you've seen, after all I've done, after all we've been together for 3.5 years, do you now believe? You know that's what salvation is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him would not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Do thou believe? We have to believe that Jesus is who he said he was, and that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. What did he promise us? He's done gone through the death, burial, and resurrection and sent you back to the Father. And he's waiting at the Father to come back to get us again. But what do we have to do? We have to believe that he's going to come and he's going to receive us as his own. You know, dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain will be called up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Then if you're here on Sunday night and on Wednesday night as we're studying through the Old Testament, last few books of the Old Testament and stuff, we're seeing the things that are being fulfilled there that's moving them out of Old Testament time into New Testament time. We're going to move out of New Testament time into an eternity of time with the Lord in heaven. We don't know how it's going to be. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we're going to be like him, and he's perfect. And I tell you, I hope all them pictures I see back there are correct, because he's tall, dark, and handsome in all those pictures, and I'm tired of being short, fat, and bald. You know, I'm going to be like him and do what he is doing in his heart and his life. Do you now believe? That's the question that every one of us are going to have to answer when we stand before God. What we believe. Verse 32 says, he said, behold, the hour cometh, yea, it's now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me all alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. In just a few short hours, them Roman soldiers are going to come get him out of the garden. They're going to drag him up to Golgotha. They're going to nail him to that cross. And he's going to look around, and where's those disciples going to be? Scattered like a covey of quail, aren't they? What did old Peter tell him? Lord, I'll go with you even to the death of the cross. What did the Lord tell him? For the cock would crow three times, you'll deny me. And he did. He said, I'm not alone. Y'all may think I'm alone, but he said, my Father is with me. What do we have? He gave us a promise. The moment we believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior in our hearts and our lives, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whatever you want to call it, comes to take up abode where? In our hearts. And what did Jesus promise us? I'll never leave you or forsake you. But the sad thing is, for many, we leave him, we forsake him. But he's always right there when we'll come back and we'll ask him, Lord, forgive me. Lord, and he'll be willing to do it. You don't have to be alone. But I can tell you this. In this world, there's going to be much sufferings. There's going to be many trials. There's going to be many afflictions in our hearts and our lives. And to try to go it alone without the Lord, you're asking for some very difficult days in your heart and your life. Listen how he closed out the chapter, verse 33. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Oh, there's many a person looking for something that's going to bring them peace and contentment and happiness and joy. They just seem like their whole world has just collapsed. He said, I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. But listen what he tells us. He warns us now. In the world you shall have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you grasp all of that? In the world you shall have tribulations, troubles, tough times, heartache. But he said, but be of good cheer. How can you be happy about having a hard time, going through difficult times? He said, because, he answered that question, he said, because I have overcome the world. Them Roman soldiers, Herod and Pilate and all of them, powers to be, they thought they'd won when he gave up the ghost on that cross. Cried out, it is finished. and like a sunflower. Passed by Courtney's the other day, and they got a big old field. But it's getting close towards evening sun going down, and I was talking to Mike there on the side of the road, and all of a sudden those sunflowers began to do this. To close the day, they droop, they drop their head, you know. Jesus doesn't owe any of us any shame or remorse. He paid the ultimate price. He gave, just like many of these veterans, the ultimate sacrifice that you and I could have peace, joy, and contentment. But most importantly, not just here, but when we get over there. And in His presence, see Him face to face. We sing that song, you know, that He's going to take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. You know where we're going? Going to see the Father, you know. Going to see that golden street's going to be pretty. Them pretty gates are going to be fine. Them walls of jasper is going to be wonderful. All those things is going to be nice. But there ain't nothing going to compare with my Lord and my Savior. Amen. What He did for me on that cross. Would you pray with me? Brother Ernie's going to come in a moment, and he'll lead us in a verse of invitation. But this morning I wonder, can you answer that question honestly for me this morning? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He come and He lived and He died, was buried in a tomb, rose again, ascended back to the Father, so that you could have the assurance of everlasting life. If you believed it, have you professed it? He said, whosoever will profess me before men, him will I profess before my Father in heaven. Three, we have a time just like this where we can step out and say, Brother Larry, I want to trust Jesus. And I say, I believe He died for my sins, and I need to ask Him to forgive me my sins and save my. I'll help you pray that little sinner's prayer. Maybe you want to come to these altars and kneel and pray. As God is speaking to your heart, maybe you know that you have believed, you've asked Him to forgive you your sin, but you haven't been living the life you ought to have been living. I don't need to know your dirty laundry. It's between you and God. You can come talk to Him about anything in your life. And He said if you'd be faithful and just to ask, He'd be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all of that unrighteousness. Father, speak to our hearts now. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Give us the courage to do what we needed to do, and we'll give You the praise. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Ernie, what we're going to sing? These altars open. I'm here. I'll be glad to speak with you about any need of your heart.